The road we're on is paved in Garth.
Come along on the journey.
As we explore
Garthology.
Think of it more as a conversation. I like that. So if this is truly a conversation, then I say let the conversation begin.
Showtime!
Hey everyone, it's Deb.
And I'm Pete.
And I'm Jess.
Welcome back to another episode of Garthology. In today's episode, we're going to continue our review of Garth's album, Man Against Machine. This is part 4 of our review, and today we will discuss songs 10, 11, and 12. If you didn't get a chance to listen to part 3, be sure and check out season 5, episode 6, when we talked about songs 7, 8, and 9. As we discussed in our part 3 review, at the time of Man Against Machine's release, Garth was quoted as saying, "Music has always been a reflection of where mankind is at the time." In that same way, in 2014, Man Against Machine was a reflection of where Garth's music was at that time. The album showcased Garth's ability to evolve with the times while also staying true to his own style. It incorporated elements of 2014 country music, but it also included rock elements and classic country sounds. By blending traditional and modern elements in his music, Garth helped bridge the gap between different generations of country music fans and contributed to the genre's ongoing evolution. This blend helped the album to appeal to both Garth's longtime listeners like us, as well as a new generation of country music followers, and it ensures that the sound is still relevant today, 10 years after its release. Okay, let's get back to our look at the songs. We'll start with Pete. He has song number 10.
Yes, I get song 10 off the album, People Loving People.
Words are what they seem to me. Talk is cheap and lies are free. We fear what we don't understand. And we've been scared since time. All the colors and the cultures circle around us on a span. It's a complicated riddle. The solution is so simple. It's people loving people. That's the enemy of everything. It's evil.
People Loving People was written by Busby, Key Thomas Miller, and Chris Wallen. It was released September 3rd, 2014, as the first single off the album Man Against Machine. It debuted and peaked on the U.S. Billboard Country Airplay chart at number 19. Like Garth's song, We Shall Be Free, People Loving People addresses the issues that were going on in our world around that time, and the best way that people could offer an easy solution is just to love one another. There are so many stories in the lyrics alone. That shows in the first two lines and some of my favorite lyrics on this entire album. Doctor, you ain't got a pill for what's making this world ill. It continues to just grab you with lyrics like, people loving people, that's the enemy of everything that is evil. Ain't no quick fix at the end of a needle, it's just people loving people. There is just so much said in this 3 minute and 38 second song. There was a lot put into this song that Garth wanted to say after being away for so long from the industry. I think between the song, Man Against Machine, where we talked about how at that time he came back, machines and technology and everything was taking over, that people loving people, there was a lot to be said in this song about the way that our world was at the time. And this was Garth's way to be able to do that. The instruments of this song are perfect and they support a very good sound and they help get the message across very clearly. This is my favorite song on the album. The message, even today, more than 2014, holds a special place. In my opinion, we need this song to be re-released now more than ever before. I love the lyrics. I love the story. I mean, I could go on for hours just talking about different meanings in the song and the lyrics and, you know, things that have, I guess, related or tied into my life day by day since the song was released. But I mean, obviously, we're only, you know, there's only so much time we have here. So I don't know. This there's a lot of great music on this song. It was very, very exciting when Garth came back after that long layoff. But this song is, I mean, there's a lot of favorite Garth songs. and just, I just find myself the other day, like just listening to it. I turn it up the loudest I can get it. I really, really thoroughly enjoy this song. So yeah, that's my feelings on it. Jess, what do you think about this one?
I love this one as well. I love the electric guitar intro when it first starts. It's just a crank it up kind of song. And despite the kind of, like you talked about, the impactful message that it has, musically, it's really carefree sounding and just summery and fun. Just such a fun song. I love the message that he's trying to convey here. And it is, it's true on such a big and small scale that if everyone just treated everyone else with love, the world's problems would truly mostly be solved. I mean, there's few things, illness, famine, like things that we don't have control over, but most things are, I think, humanly created problems. And if we all just treated people we don't know like people we love, it would just be such a better world. The sound on this one, I think Garth borders more of a rock sound here. So it reminds me of something like Unsigned Letter on the Chris Gaines album, or one of his covers like Hard Luck Woman when he covered for Kiss. It reminds me of that kind of sound more than one of his country albums. And that's really perfect, I think, because overall it's such a human song and it's on the Man Against Machine album, which I think was just such a smart placement by him. So I think it was a perfect fit for this album. But what do you think, Deb? Did you like this one?
Well, I love how you just pointed out that it's people loving people put on the Man Against Machine album.
Yeah.
Like, that's genius. I never thought of that. That is such a good connection. Like, it was people, but on a Man Against Machine album. So good. Gosh, there's so much about him where he just...
We're so smart.
So smart. God bless. So without a doubt, this message is the most important part of the song. Without a doubt. That is, I love the message in it. Yes, the music is good. Yes, Garth sounds good singing it. But ultimately for me, this song is all about the message, just like you guys talked about. The theme of the lyrics here reminding us that really it's so simple. If people just love all other people, the world would be such a better place to live in. And I mean, that says it all. You know, we've all said it. That's what it really all comes down to. And so for me, that's the ultimate takeaway. My favorite lyric from the song really brings that home to me. And that is, words aren't what they seem to be. Talk is cheap, but lies are free. We fear what we don't understand, and we've been scared since time began. All the colors and the cultures circle round us on a spindle. It's a complicated riddle. The solution is so simple. It's people loving people.
Yeah.
Like, that just gets to me every time. That verse is just packed with powerful thoughts. If you just think about that verse and how we could all be better to each other, I just think so much of our struggles would go away.
For sure.
Just go away.
Yeah.
When you take apart the different verses of this song, I think that's just the most powerful one out of a very powerful song. For some reason, that's the one that's just the most powerful to me. Now, going back to the music, it's really good. It's softer at times, which I like, but it's also powerful and rocking, like Jess talked about. I think it's unusual for a song with a message like this to have such powerful music. It's unexpected, but that's what I like most about it. If I had one critique of the music, it would probably be, it almost seems like Garth is trying hard to be heard over the music, I guess. I mean, I'm not a sound engineer, so I could be completely off on this. But the impression that I always get when I hear it is that he's trying to be heard over the, and maybe it's because the lyrics almost are contradictory to the music, but it shouldn't be, because I love the message and I love the music, but something about it seems like I'm like kind of struggling to hear him. But I still love it. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. That's just like a little tiny thing. And I could also do without so many woes.
Yeah.
Whoa, there are a lot of woes. Whoa.
At one point, I figured I was going to put in there how many times he says it and then see if you guys knew his trivia, but I didn't do it.
That's funny. So even those two small critiques, ultimately, they don't mean anything, because this song still has a really special place in my heart.
Yeah. It, It's a good one. So, all right. Well, that'll do it for People Loving People. Jess, you get the next song on the album. What do you got for us?
I have song number 11, which is Send 'Em On Down the Road.
You can cry for living. Pick 'em up, you dust them up, you hold close, and you pray, love, send them on down the road.
Send 'Em On Down the Road was written by Mark Beeson and Alan Shamblin. It was 4 minutes and 14 seconds long, so it's like mid-range length on the album, and it was not a single. This song is another one that has a gorgeous piano intro. Garth's vocals on this one, I think, are rich and nuanced, and it has a big crescendo in the latter part of the song, which I always love. We've talked about, I love when there's a big change in the music, and this song has that. It's very smooth and mostly slower paced, but I think that this one definitely shines more through the lyrics than the music per se, just because it's a very emotional song. This is like the dad bookend for the album for me when you pair it with mom. It's like the other end of that spectrum. It definitely applies to any parent, though. You will not get through this one without having your heartstrings firmly tugged at. Unless you are made of stone, you will definitely feel something when you listen to this song. It starts out talking about how a dad just knows intuitively how to be there silently. You know, dads are just there in a way that, you know, there's a role specific to moms and a role specific to dads, and they fill different things. And dads a lot of times just know how to kind of quietly be there with you in a moment when you need them to. And it's got these brilliant lines like, you can cry for them and live and die for them. You can help them find their wings, but you can't fly for them. It really just illustrates how dads help us find our way in the world while simultaneously letting us go at the same time, which is very, you know, it's beautiful and difficult at the same time. The song talks about all the things you do for your kids when they're little. And man, if you're a parent, this one's rough. I definitely shed a tear researching this one and thinking about my little guy. And it just makes you think about how fast time's going, or how fast it went if your littles are big kids now or adults. It's such a true perspective, because you guide your kids as best you can, but at the end of the day, it's their life and you have to let them live it. And that's such a hard line to walk. And that makes this song, I think, resonate so much with most people. It's just a beautiful anthem to parents, and specifically dads, talking about navigating, loving, teaching, and letting go. And I really love this one a lot, but I'm really interested to see what you guys think about it, because we're at such different parenting stages. Like, we're all at, like, our kids are all at different ages. So Deb, you go ahead and go first. What do you think about this one? Because your kids are young adults now. So how do you feel about this song?
So I love this song, but honestly, at this stage in my life, this song hurts my soul.
Yeah.
Like, even just getting through talking about it right now is going to be really tough on me, because I mean, I'm living this, and what he wrote, or what, you know, what the songwriters wrote, it breaks me. It's like, it's hard to talk about. Because as a mother of three grown kids, it's honestly very difficult for me to listen to this song, which hurts me because I love it and I don't want to not listen to it. But it's hard. It's really, really tough. And it's funny how you mentioned this book ending, you know, like the mom and dad story for you.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because I see it as you and I. The bookends of you and I, because you're at the beginning with mom and I'm at the end with Send 'Em On Down the Road. So that to me is very much a bookend. So I'm going to tell you a dumb story, which Pete and Jess may already know this, but if you don't, it'll be new to you. And if you do, it'll remind you how dumb I am. So our middle daughter, Allison, was the first one to move out. She moved to Northern California in 2021. And So David and I drove her and her goodies up there and dropped her off. And it, you know, remember the first child leaving is tough anyways. But we went up there, we spent a few days there, got her all settled in her first apartment. And when we left, I turned this song on.
Oh, why would you do that to yourself?
Dumbest thing I've ever done. I literally, as I was pulling out of her driveway, I started playing it. And I sobbed and sobbed and sobbed. And I called her sobbing and I sent her pictures of the lyrics and it was all stupid. Like it was really, so there's my story for you so that you don't repeat it.
Yeah, don't do that.
It's dumb. It's a bad idea. So that was really dumb of me. So getting back to the song. Now I'm just like caught back up in that moment and I'm like, oh, it's bad. Okay. So my favorite lyric is at the end and how the lyrics in the chorus kind of change up a little bit. So in the rest of the song, the lyrics say, you pick them up, you dust them off, you send them on down the road. I'm going to have to go through this really fast because as I say it, I'm going to start crying.
Yes. Okay. I'm the same way. Like talking makes it hard.
It's bad. But on the last lyric, you know, it's changed up just a little bit because they say you pick them up, you dust them off, you hold them close and you pray a lot. And that just, I love that little switch. It's a little switch, yeah. But I love it. And it just fits perfectly. And so that's my favorite part. And the music, I think, in this is perfect. The music fits the lyrics. It fits Garth's vocals. Everything for me just blends together so seamlessly. And there's a musical break at just before the 3-minute mark that is so good. There's like a guitar solo that I love. And then Garth jumps back in and the lyrics start and stop with some kind of rocking musical moments in between. And I just think that that's fantastic. And by the 3:23 mark, Garth kind of goes quiet and emotional again. And then that leads right into my favorite lyrics that I mentioned before with that little change. And so by then, I'm just like a sobbing mess, kind of like I am here right now. Because I just, you know, when I get to that point in the song, I'm already, you know, usually looking at pictures of my girls on my phone and wondering why they don't call their mom more often. So that's where I am in the song then. That's where I am in the song now. Why don't my kids call me more often? Anyways, I love this song, even though it breaks my soul every time I listen to it. Now, Pete is right in the middle. Yeah. So, Pete, what do you think about Send Him On Down the Road?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. If you guys are the bookends, right, and Jess is in the beginning and you're at the end of the song, I'm smack dab right in the middle.
Yep.
This song, as a parent, it just hits home and it pulls at my heartstrings, just like Jess said. I'm blessed enough. I have two kids, my 17-year-old son, Bradley, and my 15-year-old daughter, Nicole. I'm lucky enough to be Uncle Daddy to my two nieces, Alyssa and Danica. It's crazy, this parent thing. Like, you try so hard to protect them, like it says in the song. And when they're young, you do everything you can. And then they start to get older. They play sports. They make friends. And then they start to date. They start to drive and stay out with friends. And it never gets easier because as a parent, when they're young, you worry about them getting hurt, raising them the right way, making sure that they know the difference between right and wrong. And then as they get older, they become more independent. And then you think it's going to get easier, but it doesn't because now they're out and about. You worry if they're okay and if they're safe with friends. And then it's now like where I'm at, right? I'm having talks with my son about college. Like, homie's going to be leaving soon. Like, he's going to do his thing. And I don't know. You know, he might go to college locally here. You know, there's an opportunity for him to stay within the business and whatever it is. But there's talks about college. You start to look at the fact that there's only a couple more years that you have them here. And then before you know it, you're going to be going to their house. You're going to be having dinner at their place. You're going to be having get-togethers there, right? As grandparents or whatever it may be, you're going to end up at the house having Christmas morning at their place. It's crazy how much this song lays out the game plan. Like, we all are going to go through it. And like, Jess, I remember when I was with you and it was like, you got this entire lifetime ahead of you and you got to do everything that you can. And like, now I'm at where I'm at. And then you hear Aunt Deb, like, I was listening to the song thinking to myself, like, Aunt Deb's already went down, like, she's already sent him down the road. And it's like, it's wild, like, how great this song is. Like, this song is unbelievably good. The lyrics and the story behind it, the music, there's nothing bad about this song. You can't change anything about it. It's a perfectly written song. The stories, it just takes me right back to, you know, holding my kids and watching them off their first t-ball. And, you know, now we see pictures of Bo, and it's just crazy. And then Aunt Deb's telling us about daughters getting tattoos and they're living away from home. And now I've got my kids here and my daughter's dating and her boyfriend's always here. And she made them a steak and mashed potato dinner tonight all by herself. And it's like, oh my gosh, soon we're going to, it's wild. I love the song. It's so good. It's such a great song. But I got to tell you, I do miss the times when I had to chase monsters from under their bed. And that's one of my favorite lyrics, because I can't tell you how many. Now my daughter called me screaming 2 o'clock at night, Dad, what's going on? I go in there and there's a moth or a mosquito eater and she's freaking the fuck out trying this thing.
So you're still chasing monsters. So I'm still
chasing monsters out of rooms. Yeah. Yeah. But that's it. That's what I think.
Well, I think the most telling thing is that how much we all identify it, even being at totally different places on the parenting spectrum right now.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the marker of a great song. Like, look at how much it means to each of us and how it kind of, it resonates with all of us, but it's unifying too, no matter where you are. Correct. I think that we can all kind of identify.
Yep.
It brings us all together in our misery.
Yes, exactly. All right. Well, we have one more song on this episode, and so we're going to pass it over to Deb because she has the last song.
Good luck with this one, Auntie.
This one's going to be much easier for me. I have song number 12 on Man Against Machine, which is Fish.
You'll be captain of a fleet. You'll be sitting pretty down on East Street. You can't anything that you wish. He says, you mean fish? His simple words of wisdom hit me right between the eyes, and it really got me thinking about the way I live my life, 'cause I just work.
Fish was written by Chris Wallen and Wynn Varble and comes in at 4 minutes, 35 seconds. This wasn't released as a single, so no chart history. I found an interesting songwriter note on this. So Fish, Cowboys Forever, and Mom were all three co-written by Wynn Varble. And the other co-writer on Fish, Chris Wallen, also co-wrote three songs on Man Against Machine, which were Cold Like That, People Loving People, and Fish. So these two guys did a lot of the songwriting for this album, and the only other one person that's credited as songwriter for as many as three songs on this album is Garth himself. Huh. So I thought that was pretty cool for Wynn and Chris to have just as many songwriting credits on this album as Garth did. Now, the song Fish is more of a traditional country-sounding song on Man Against Machine, kind of in line with like Cowboys Forever, which was song number 9 on this album, and we covered that in a previous episode. It's got that steel guitar and a slide guitar too, with a very steady, easygoing beat. That beat really fits the lyrics perfectly, and I think Garth sounds so good on this one with just a little bit of twang, and his vocals are not over or under the music. He's right in that sweet spot that he's so good at hitting vocally. The story in the lyrics is perfectly told. A corporate man sees a guy fishing and starts telling him all about how he can grow his fishing business, which will lead him to being able to do anything he wants. And the fisherman casually asks, "You mean fish?" The point is so easily understood that our narrator even says, "His simple words of wisdom hit me right between the eyes." Why would he turn what he loves doing into a job just so he can get time off to do what he loves and is already doing? I mean, that is a statement we can definitely all learn from. And speaking of someone that can learn from the story in this song, Pete, what are your thoughts on fish?
Shots fired.
Yeah, shots fired. Duck, duck. Fish is as country as they come, in my opinion. I love the story that the old timer passes along, and it actually researching it and listening to the story and reading the lyrics, I put it right here. It's probably something that I could learn a little bit from, because at this point in my life, I would love to just sit around and fish. But the crazy thing is I feel that I work so hard nowadays and I don't take a lot of time off to kind of go do my own thing. Because I think ultimately the end result is being able to have what I need in the end to ultimately get to where I want to be right
so
now.
So you
right?
can build a fleet, so
build
ships,
a fleet of ships
and captains,
and, captains and have these guys running out, and you know, or I could just fish, right? Just fish. But it makes him realize that maybe work isn't everything in life, and it's probably a small lesson in there that I could probably learn as well. It's a fun song with a cool story. It paints a picture of two people fishing. It tells there's not a lot to the song. There's a great point in the story, and it found a perfect place on the record. And I think that's why I enjoy it so much. But yeah, listening to it is like, hey, dumb shit. Probably should listen a little bit and learn something. All right. It's a great story. It's a cool song. And yeah, man. Damn. I work a lot. I should take a minute off or something. But yeah. Jess, what do you think of this one?
I adore this song. It's one of my absolute favorites. It's like you guys talked about, it's a perfect song to lighten things up. You know, after the serious tone of Send 'Em On Down the Road, you come into this one. It was very well placed. It reminds me, and you guys know how much I love my Jimmy Buffett, and it reminds me of Jimmy Buffett. Yes. Not the sound per se, but the attitude of the song. Just, you know, it's all about being happy where you are in life and just kind of the wanting what you have mentality. I also think there's a lesson in there about recognizing that what you want and aspire to and what somebody else would want and aspire to is not always the same thing. Some people are really driven to achieve a lot, and that's okay. And some people prefer a very simple existence and need very little material possessions to be happy, and that's okay too. It's a little lighthearted song, and it makes you think and reevaluate that if you're killing yourself working for the big house and the fancy car and the stuff, that you might actually not need all that to be happy. I personally identify with this song so much, and you guys know I kind of did this a little bit last year. Like, I sold my house in town, I bought some land, I'm building a little 800 square foot house for myself and my son, and, you know, to just not have a mortgage and have the, you know, the freedom of not having that debt over you dictating what you're doing. And I can go to my job now feeling like I'm there because I want to be there and because I feel like it's rewarding to me in some way and not because my standard of living depends on me being there, even if I'm miserable at it. And that's such a game changer. So to me, I think of that whenever I hear this song, of just the kind of making the choice to have that freedom in your life and just be happy doing something simple, you know, and not needing all the things. And it's a surprisingly thought-provoking song for such a fun little song about fishing, I think. Because you could also just listen to it and let it pass by and not really kind of think much about it. And in that way, it is a fun song that makes you laugh when he's like, you mean fish? but there's also this like idea of like, yeah, what am I? Do like Pete said, do I need to take a vacation? Like, do I need to just rest? And so I like that. I like that it's kind of big ideas out of a little song.
That's a great way to put it. Big ideas out of a little song.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I like, too, about how you said wanting what you already have.
Yeah.
Like, that is something that is, I think, unusual for people nowadays. Society pushes us and pushes us to buy more and have more and get all the things. But if we could all just be happy with what we already have.
All right. I'll cancel the couch. Jeez Louise. Freak. We're canceling
right
now.
The couch you have is perfectly fine. You don't need a new one. That was funny. All right, everyone. That's it for this episode. Our continuing review of Garth's 9th studio album, Man Against Machine, where we now covered songs 10, 11, and 12. Tune in for a future episode where we will finish up this album review with songs 13 and 14. And we may just have some special Garthologists join in with us on that one. Have you checked out our website at garthology.com yet? If not, stop by today and check out past episodes and bonus content. And remember to subscribe to our podcast on your podcast platform of choice. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, please stop by and give us a review and hit that 5-star button if you like what you hear and encourage others to listen. Also, be sure and share us with everyone you know. That way you can help your friends in low places become Garthologists too.
Speaking of friends in low places, if you guys are on social media, we are too. If you guys are at Facebook, we are at facebook.com/GarthologyCast. If you guys use Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, or Threads, we are at GarthologyCast there. We love, love, love the interactions, the shares, the tweets, the retweets, just the private messages, whatever it is, and however you guys want to get a hold of us, we love the interaction. I know we've been a little quiet on them lately because we've been super busy, but we're going to get back at it. So make sure you stop by, give us a holler, and we'll talk to you guys there. We appreciate the support.
You can hear new episodes of Garthology on the 7th, 17th, and 27th of each month. So please join us for our next episode. Until then,
thanks for joining us for another episode of Garthology. And I'm Deb.
I'm Pete.
And I'm Jess. We'll see you guys next time. Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone. And remember, love will always win.
It was released on September 3rd of 2024 as the first single off the album Man Against Machine.
Nope, not 2024.
I'm sorry, you're right. This is going to take a long time. We're going to run out of recording time. Shit.
All right, everyone. That's it for this episode. Our continuing review of Garth's 9th studio album.
You like skip. You were like a record that skipped.
It was on an album.
That's funny.
That was funny.
Now I'm never going to get back to this.
That was funny.